grab our hymnals one last time. We're going to stand together. Let's turn to page number 222, page 222, In the Bleak Midwinter, page 222.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty winds did moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, fallen snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, many years ago, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sets his head. Heaven and earth shall vanish when he comes to reign. God himself became a man, born to be sin's price. He's a giver, redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. What can I give him, needy as I am? If I were shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a nobleman, I would do my part.
How can we reach a world we never touch? How many kids have your Bible with you this morning? All right. I want you to turn in your Bible. How many adults have your Bible with you this morning? I want you to follow along in your Bible this morning because you are going to help me with the message today. You've got some special lines that you've got to say to me with the message today. And in order to see those lines, you need a Bible. All right. Otherwise, you've got to have a good memory. Better than me. You know, there's something that when you get a little bit older, like some folks are, I don't know if I'm getting there yet, you start to forget some things. And a lot of you know, I had a birthday this week. My wife was sick on my birthday, so we didn't really do anything. We don't normally do a lot of special things for those things anyways, because we kind of like to forget about our birthdays anymore. But I said, you know what? I know there's a little bit of ice cream in the freezer in the other room. We're sitting in the living room visiting and talking, and I thought, I'm going to go get some ice cream. And I went out in the kitchen, and of course, I was maybe thinking about something else. I don't know. But a little while later, I walked into the living room where my wife was, and I had a spoon in my hand, and I was thinking, why am I carrying a spoon? That's right. I was going to get ice cream. So I had to go back. I forgot what I was. Can you believe that? Boy, that is somebody getting insane. They're losing their sanity. They forgot their ice cream. And I think you guys get an ice cream cup on the bus today. They were going to have some ice cream after the service tonight. I try to stay away from that anymore, but sometimes I just have to indulge in it. We're not able to live stream today with the video, so I don't have to look at the camera. I never remember to look at that camera anyways. It looks like an alien over there peeking at me is what it looks like. But we're not doing the video, but we are recording. And some folks that are not able to be here said they will listen online. They can't watch the video live. They can't listen to the recording live. They have to listen to it later. And let me just say this, because I want to see who's listening. If you're listening today, come and tell me what the message was about, and I'll have a piece of candy for you, all right? Oh, boy. And if you don't know, I'll eat the candy instead. I've got some Rolos up here. Would you kids like some Rolos today? Do you know what Rolos are? No? Oh, man. That means I get them. They're oh, boy. I've got a whole bucket of them. You come up to after me, after the service, and tell me what the message was about today. I'll give you one of those today, all right? And so you listen up today in our Bibles today. In 2 Kings, you find 2 Kings, chapter number 5. 2 Kings, chapter, did I tell you the chapter yet? I didn't. I forgot to tell you. See, I forget things. My wife says sometimes it's scary because I forget so many things. I said, do you think it's scary to you? You should be me. And you know how scary it is to me when I can't remember simple little things. 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. It's before or right after 1 Kings. All right. 1 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles. Samuel and Chronicles in the Old Testament. Before the book of Psalms, I'll give you time to find it. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And I'm going to read the whole story today. And then we're going to point out some lines that you're going to help me to tell the story. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Beginning in verse number 1. Since it's such a long chapter, long reading this morning, I'll let you stay seated this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the kings of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that was of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 10,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That's a lot of money and a lot of clothes. More than many of us could find a use for. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter, when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall become to thee, and shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth. He was mad. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over me, over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Now, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he returned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth, and thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord? Thus, in this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when thy master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, that he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself to the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself to the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant of this thing. Forgive me of worshiping the false god of Rimmon. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Thank you for this wonderful story and the illustration that it gives us and what we want to mention this morning concerning worldwide missions. Pray that you would bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is about Naaman. Naaman the what? Leper. Naaman the leper. The leper is not an animal. The leper is a disease that rots your flesh away. Well, I wouldn't want to have leprosy. It starts to itch. It turns into a scab, and pretty soon your skin starts falling off your body. Ew, that's nasty. And it starts oozing all over the place. When someone had leprosy, everybody avoided it. In fact, it was a law when you had leprosy, you had to go live in what they called a leper colony. Away from your family, you could never see your family again. You could never be in civilization. Once you're a leper, you're taken out of society and you're cast away to die and maybe starve to death because there's nothing you could do to cure leprosy. Now, we're going to look at eight people tonight, or this morning, and I want you to follow along with me. Now, I'm going to stay right here. I want to come down and walk amongst you, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm not using a lapel microphone, so I have to stay right here, so I can't leave from up here. Naaman, notice, first of all, the story is about Naaman. In verse number 1, it says that he was the captain of the king's army. He was the man in charge, second to the king. And the king of Syria was most likely Ben-Hadad the second or third, or maybe even Ben-Hadad the fourth. Now that gets confusing when you got Ben-Hadad the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and all the way down. But he was one of the Ben-Hadads most likely. And his leader of his army was this man, Naaman. Now the Bible says about Naaman that he was a great man. And do you see that in verse number 1? He was an honorable man. He was a great soldier. He was a soldier that did everything that he was told to do like a good soldier. He led in great conquests of the Syrian army. He was victorious in battle. Whenever the Syrian army went to conquer somebody, Naaman was the one in charge, and he came back victoriously every time. The Bible says he was a mighty man. He was a strong man. He was one that you look at, and he probably had muscles bulging out all over the place, just like Pastor Fritz, right? Well, maybe not like that. Maybe like Jacob, right? Right? I don't know. But he was a strong, mighty man. But, I want you to notice this in verse number 1. But he was a leper. Say that with me. But he was a leper. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. Naaman was a great, mighty, strong man, but he was a leper. He was going to die of his leprosy. He was outcast because of his leprosy. And then we're told that Naaman's wife had a slave in their house. Now, it's hard for us to imagine this. This little girl was taken from her homeland. In fact, Naaman conquered her homeland, the nation of Israel, and brought some people back to sell as slaves. And this little girl, Naaman, caught Naaman's attention. And he said, this little girl looks like a good worker. She looks strong. She looks healthy. I'm going to take her into my house, and she's going to be my wife's special slave, special servant. Would any of you like to be somebody's servant? Be taken away from your home to never see your family again? You're taken away as a prisoner and now you're a slave? I don't think you would like that. I don't think you understand the question. She was a servant. And yet, though she was a servant to the one who bought her into slavery and made her serve, this woman, she had one thing to say. In verse number 3, we see her lie. The servant girl of Naaman's wife said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet." That's a long line to remember there. You're going to have to work on that, remembering that one. Say that with me. Try to say it with me. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet." That's a hard one. Now you got to say it like a little girl, right? You're a little slave girl. "Would God the Lord were with the prophet." Right? Can you say that with me? Say it with me. The little girl said, "Would God the Lord were with the prophet." Oh, there's a prophet in Israel. She knew him. She once lived in Israel. If he was here, he could heal Naaman of his leprosy. And the servant, now these lines get a little easier. Remember, Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. The servant girl, Naaman's wife, who is the servant girl of Naaman's life, who is a slave of the captain's, said, Would God the Lord were with the prophet. That's a hard one to remember, isn't it? And then, maybe I should have somebody up here to learn those special lines, right? We can do that. We'll let you stay down there. And then, the servant, another servant in Naaman's household, heard what this little girl said. And she went, and he went to the king, and in verse number 4, we see his line. It's only three words. I think this is kind of a funny line. He went to the king, and he said, thus and thus. Say that with me. Thus and thus. All right? Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. The little servant girl said, would God the Lord were with the prophet. And the servant said, thus and thus. We're getting good. The story's getting, the plot is thickening here. And the king of Syria now said in verse number 5, he heard that there's a prophet in Israel. He heard the whole story. And his line was this. Go to go. Go to go. Say that with me, all right? Go to go. So the little girl said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet. And the servant said, thus and thus. And the king said, go to go. All right. Boy, the story's getting interesting here, isn't it? And then the messengers were given a letter to send to Israel. And the messengers were given 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. That's a whole lot of money. That's more than you could carry in your pocket. You might need a wheelbarrow to carry all that money. And 10 changes of clothes. You might have to add a new closet under your house to put all those changes of clothes. And the king's letter said to the king of Israel, recover him of his leprosy. Remember that? Say it with me. Recover him of his leprosy. So the servant said, the little girl servant said, would God my Lord were with the prophet. And the servant said, thus and thus. And the king said, go to go. And the messenger said, recover him of his leprosy. And this message was delivered to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, in verse number 7, rent his clothes. He said, whoa, you can't ask me that. He's trying to pick a fight with us. He done came and took all the people from to be his servants. He conquered us once, and now he's trying to pick a fight with us again. And he said one thing. He asked a question. He said, am I God? What did he say? Am I God? How can I heal him? I can't do that. Am I God? So, let's go back and review here, okay? The little girl said, would God the Lord were with the prophet? And the servant said, thus and thus. And the king of Syria said, go to go. And the messenger said, recover him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel said, am I God? Now, Elijah happened to live in town, just down the road from the king's palace. And Elisha, the great prophet of God, got word of the message. Of course, everybody saw the king's men coming into town, and they were wondering, what's going on? And Elijah heard the story, and Elijah sent the king a message. And his message was this, let him come to me. In verse number 8, let him come now to me. Say that with me. Let him come now to... Are you getting the story? Boy, this is a long story. There's a lot of lines to learn, isn't it? We got to review again. All right. The little girl said, would God the Lord were with the prophet? And the servant said, thus and thus. The king of Syria said, go to go. And the messenger that were sent said, recover him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel said, am I God? And Elisha said, let him come now to me. All right, did you get that last one? What did Elijah say? Let him come now to me. You're getting it. And then Naaman packed up his bags and his men and rode his chariot to the house of Elijah, the preacher, the servant of God, the one that his wife's servant girl told him about. And he went to the house of Elisha, knocked on the door. And Elisha never even came to the door. Can you believe that? Here's the king's second in command. And an important man come. Boy, if somebody that important came to my house, I think I'd drop whatever I was doing and go see what he wanted. Or maybe I'd go hide if I thought I was in trouble. But he came to Elijah's house, and Elisha didn't go to the door. Instead, he sent a servant, a messenger, one of his men, one of his messengers. Said, I don't have time for this guy. You go and give him a message. And what was the message of this messenger? The message was this. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. But we'll just shorten that. Go wash in the Jordan. The Jordan River went through the land of Israel. If you remember the Jordan River in the New Testament, that's where John the Baptist baptized Jesus in. That was an important life-giving river in the land of Israel. So Elijah's messenger said, go wash in the Jordan. Now, you remember all those lines? I might be losing some of you here. I should have wrote them down for you. If you follow them, this one's in verse number 10. We started with the servant girl that said, would God the Lord were with the preacher, the prophet. And the servant said, thus and thus. And the king said, go to go. That sounds like a fast food place, doesn't it? And the messenger who was sent said to the king, recover him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel said, am I God? And Elijah was sent to the king and said, let him come now to me. Have I lost you yet? I'm about losing myself here. And Elijah's messenger said, go wash in the Jordan. What Elijah's messenger said? Go wash in the Jordan. He said, jump in the Jordan 7 times. Go jump in a lake. Go jump in a river. Wash 7 times. And Naaman in verse number 7, or verse number 10 says, Naaman was wroth. He was angry. He was upset. Well, that didn't work the way I planned. I thought surely the man of God would be honored to see me. I thought he would come and pray. I thought he would come and wave his magical hands over the leprosy and heal me. Nothing happened like I expected. After all, this old Jordan River, I don't like this river. We got better rivers in Syria than this old dirty Jordan River. This guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And it says that he left in a rage. In other words, he slammed the chariot door and said, let's get out of here. I don't want to listen to this guy. He's full of baloney. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Just like a lot of folks you share the gospel with. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. After all, isn't the priest supposed to do this magic wand stuff and all those kind of things for us? And as they began to leave, Naaman's servants, in verse number 13, look at verse number 13, because that's a long line. We're going to have to shorten that one some. As Naaman's servants basically said, you know, you're a brave man, you're a strong man, you wouldn't think twice of doing something heroic. If he told you to go chop off the king's head, if he told you to go kill a bunch of servants, you'd do that without giving it a second thought. But all he told you is to go jump in the river. All he told you to do is go dip in the river. How hard can that be? What harm's that going to do? In verse number 13, look at the verse with me. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had given thee some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he has said thee, wash and be thou clean? Now, the thing that they're going to say here, we're going to shorten that to this. You've done great things, right? Or how about this? You're not afraid of anything. That's even better yet. That's easier to remember, right? And Naaman's servants said what? You're not afraid of anything. Now, let's go back one more time here. We're getting it? We got it? Now, help me out here. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. And the little servant girl said, would God the Lord were with the prophet. My voice is going to say that. And then the servant that overheard went to the king and said, thus and thus. And the king of Syria said, go to go. The messenger that was sent to the king brought 10 talents of silver, and they came to the king of Israel and said, "Recover him of leprosy." And the king of Israel said, "Am I God?" And Elisha got word that the king had come, that Naaman came into town, and he said, "Let him come now to me. Let him come now to me." And then Elisha's messenger answered the door and said, "Wash where? In the Jordan River. Go wash in the Jordan River. Dip 7 times in the Jordan River." And then Naaman's servants, as Naaman walked away angry, he said, what did he say? You're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of anything. And of course, the rest of the story says how Naaman decided, okay, I'm not afraid of anything. What have I got to lose? He went back and washed in the Jordan River. He went down underwater in the Jordan River, just like Jesus would later be baptized in the Jordan River, went down under the water. He came up out of the water. You know what happened? Nothing. That's only one time. He went down a second time, came up out of the water. Guess what happened? Nothing. The third time, went down to the water and came back up, and nothing happened. The fourth time, he went down out of the water and came back up out of the water, and nothing happened. The fifth time, he went down under the water and came back up out of the water, and nothing happened. The sixth time, he went down, came up out of the water, and you got it. The seventh time, he went down under the water and came up out of the water, and his leprosy was gone. His skin was soft as a baby's bottom, right? Well, maybe not quite that much. As soft as a baby. As soft as a newborn baby. Now, that's pretty soft, especially for a rough, tough soldier like Naaman. He hadn't had skin like that since he was a little tiny baby. He's a rough, tough guy. But he was completely healed of his leprosy when he did what the preacher told him to do. He recognized that this was a miracle of God, and he praised the God of Israel. He realized that no other God that he's ever worshipped could do this. And he worshipped plenty other gods. He came back to Elisha and offered him the reward that was sent by the king. And Elisha said, "I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to take credit for this. It wasn't me. It was God that did this." And he refused Naaman's offering. He told them to go in peace. You're a different person. You're not a conqueror. You're not a destroyer of innocent people anymore. Now go in peace. Now later on, the story, the rest of the chapter talks about Gehazi, Elisha's servant, that went back and took the offering, that took the award money. And God struck him with leprosy for lying and being deceitful and dishonest. Now, what I want you to see in this story, that there were a lot of people involved in getting Naaman healed of his leprosy. What would have happened if that little girl that was a servant of Naaman's wife would have said, "I don't want to help him. He stole me from my home. He took me from my parents. I don't like him. I hope he does die. I don't care if he gets healed." What would have happened if she had that attitude? Naaman would have never been healed. And by the way, that's the attitude I probably would have had if I was that little girl. I wouldn't care about Naaman. So what? He's going to get what he deserves. But no, she loved him. What if Elisha would have said, "Well, let him die. He already came in here once to conquer us. We don't care for him." If one person, out of the little girl, to the servant of the king, to the king of Syria, to the messengers that were sent, "Well, I don't want to deliver this message," or the king of Israel, or Elijah, or Elisha's messenger, or Naaman's servant, if any one of them said, "I don't want to do that part," Naaman would have never been healed of his leprosy. I was thinking of that story this week. You know, when God showed me that earlier this week, I had to take the bus. How many of you kids came in the bus this morning? How many kids came in the bus this morning? Let me see your hand. All right. I'm glad you came in the bus. This week, I had to take that bus down to get an inspection. The state requires that every 6 months we have to have a safety inspection on that bus to make sure it's safe for the kids to ride in the bus. And they put a little sticker in the window. In 6 months, that sticker is going to have to be renewed, so I need to go down there again. And I was driving the bus down there, and I got thinking, how many people does it take to bring these kids into Sunday school? Somebody had to give money for the church to buy that bus. If they didn't do that, we wouldn't have a bus. Someone has to do the work on that bus. Mr. Todd gets to do that. He's our mechanic around here. And somebody gets to drive that bus every Sunday to pick up the kids. Someone has to do their part and go visit each other. How many of you got a visit from somebody yesterday for the bus? Huh? Did somebody come by your bus, see if you're riding today or this week sometime? How many had some? Did Garrett come by your house this week sometime to see if you're asking your mom, dad, are you riding this Sunday? Somebody had to do that. Somebody had to ride the bus to tame you guys because you get kind of wild in the bus, right? They had to watch over you. I just did a little part and go down and get inspected. And that took a little bit of time out of my day, but that really wasn't that much. But I'm glad I did that so you can be here today. Everything that's done for God involves a lot of different people. And I think of our children's ministries. We have King's Kids on Wednesday night, Sunday school. Take Sunday school teachers. They've got to study their lesson. They go visit you. They encourage you to come to Sunday. Yesterday we had the food pantry open. There's a lot of folks that give money for the food pantry so that we can buy food for those that are in need in our community. A lot of folks come and help with the food pantry, unload the truck when it comes. Boy, I'm so glad that you come because it gives me a backache just watching you unload all the stuff in that truck. And then it gives me a backache to do my little part of helping out. But a lot of folks come and help out with that. My wife volunteers a lot of time to organize and do the paperwork. Yesterday afternoon, she was sitting down doing a lot of paperwork for the food pantry. It has to be done every week. And comes over sometimes to stock the shelves. And Carla was here yesterday to help out with the food pantry. Folks in the community even giving now to help out with the food pantry. So I think a lot of people to do that. And we're glad that we can be a help and a blessing to folks in our community. But more important than that, we want to share the gospel with them. And we take time to love them and share the gospel with them and tell them that Jesus is the way of salvation. I think of our missionaries. We have 24 missionaries that we've supported this year. Missions every month. Those missionaries are volunteered to give their life to go live in another country, to learn another language, to learn another culture, to risk their lives and take their family to a foreign land and subject themselves to the laws and the rules of the government of that land and tell people about Jesus Christ. Not everybody can do that. My son and daughter-in-law, Don's daughter and son-in-law, I guess, live in Cape. We went over there, and the whole time I'm scratching my head, I said, I can put up with this for a couple of weeks, but then I get to go home. I'm sure glad I don't have to live there. I told him that. I couldn't do what you're doing. Praise God that God's given you the grace to do it. And all our missionaries, they get diseases there that we never have to worry about. They get vaccines for things that we don't have to worry about. And they don't have a choice. They just have to do it. Or they can't be there to serve the Lord. But they can't do it without folks at home that are praying for them and asking God to keep themselves safe and to use them. They can't do it without folks giving of their finances to help the missionaries. It takes money to live, doesn't it? And it takes money for them, even more money for them to live on a foreign field and take their family and to go over there and establish churches and to see God do a work over there. And all of us need to do our part. And all of us ought to be witnessing at home, telling folks about Jesus, because if we're not telling folks about Jesus, our church is going to die and wither up and nobody's going to be coming to church in a couple of years. And before long, there's not going to be anybody here to send money to the missionaries anymore. They're all going to have to come home. Everybody's got to do their part. And if one person says, I'm not going to do that, there's folks that we got to meet when we were in Cape Verde a couple of years ago. We're so glad to meet them and see folks. I've been to Mexico and met some folks that our missionaries have led to the Lord. We had a great time of fellowship with them. Thank the Lord that we were able to send a missionary there to tell them about Jesus and to see them get baptized. We even had a baptismal service. One of the services I was preaching at in Mexico. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. They pulled the cover off the baptismal, had about that much water in there, just enough to put somebody underwater. As long as they're a skinny enough person, they can get them underwater. But when they took that lid off, there were cockroaches that went everywhere. And that water kind of had a green color to it with a kind of a foam on the top of it. I said, I'm glad I ain't going in that water. They were glad to get baptized and glad to follow the Lord in baptism. And I'm glad that a missionary was able to go there. And we were able to support them and encourage them. Been to other places to be able to preach the gospel. And thank God for those that are willing to go. And thank God for those that are willing to give to missions and serve here at home. Now what we need to do, I encourage you to find your part and to do it with all your strength. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where thou go. One day your life's going to be over with. One day your opportunity to serve the Lord is going to be done. It's going to be past. I had a birthday this week that I try to forget because some people say I'm getting old. I ain't getting old. I refuse to get old. But you realize how short your life. When I was the age of most of you kids, I thought, well, I'm going to live. I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to live forever. I don't have to worry about anything. But now I look back and think it seems like it was just a couple of days ago, though it was 60 years ago almost, that I was where a lot of you are sitting. That seemed like an eternity, but that really wasn't that long ago. And I realize that little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus and find what God wants you to do. Now, if you're here without the Lord, realize this, that many people invested in your life that you could get here to hear the gospel, that you could come to Sunday school and hear how to get to heaven when you leave this world. I encourage you to make the right decision. Don't be like Naaman. Well, that's not the way I thought it would be. They didn't do what I thought. I see people come to church sometimes. Well, that's not what I expected. And they go away mad. They go angry. Instead of Jesus just asks you to accept the free gift of salvation. He doesn't ask you to crawl across a platform on your knees with glass all over the floor. He doesn't ask you to do a backflip or do a somersault or pay a certain amount of money. He just asks you, won't you accept the free gift of salvation? But a lot of folks go away angry. They say, well, it can't be that easy. Oh, it's that easy. Trust Jesus as your Savior and you can be saved for all eternity. Some folks say, well, you're here this morning and say, well, God's calling me to serve Him, to give my life, maybe to be a missionary, maybe to be a preacher. God's calling you to surrender. Don't miss that call. Don't miss that opportunity. When God called me to preach, I argued with the Lord for a little while. I said, God, you don't know me. Can you imagine telling God you don't know me? God, I'm bashful. I can't stand in front of anybody. I can't do this. There's no way in the world I can do that. I can hardly read, let alone tell people and study and tell people how to get saved. I can't do that. But God can give you His grace to do what He's called you to do. The only thing that He asks is for you to surrender. You say, yes, Lord, I'll obey. I'll do what You have called me to do. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. And if it wasn't for those eight people that we learned of today and gave you a line for, he would have never been healed of his leprosy. Each one had to do their part. What is your part? And your mom and dad don't know about Jesus. If you don't tell them about Jesus, if you don't get them to come to church, they may never hear. You may be the one that God brought, is going to use to bring them to Jesus if you just listen to the voice of God. You got a friend maybe that needs to be saved. And God put you into their life so that you'd have an opportunity to tell them how to trust Christ as their Savior. All of we just do our part that God's called us to do. But the most important thing is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God's spoken to you,